We've got a good crowd of individuals here today, and several of you are visiting with us, and we appreciate that very, very much. It's always good to come to the worship services and fun things, exciting things, be happening. And folks, that's what we've got going on today, in addition to the worship of the Almighty God. And we're glad to be here on this Lord's Day. Numerous times, the word elders, plural, is found in the pages of the New Testament. 10 times in the book of Acts. 1 time in 1 Timothy. 1 time in Titus. Once in James. And once in 1 Peter. My friends, that helps us to understand that this concept of elders is a Bible topic. Last week we introduced the subject of elders. We noted first of all that our Lord and Savior is the head of the church. And He continues that headship by means of the apostles and prophets through the inspired word of the Almighty God. My friends, the Bible, the New Testament especially, is our divine authority in all matters religious. But in the local congregation, God has authorized elders to be the overseers of the church. Therefore, in a lesson today, and in 2 more lessons, we're going to be studying these elders of the church. I've entitled this particular lesson, The Basics. Next week, we're going to be talking about their qualifications. And the following week, we're going to be discussing the work of the elders. But let's talk this morning about numerous points with regard to the basics of the elders in the church. The first point, the elders of the church are there out of divine authority. My friends, the eldership is not an evolutionary product of the mind of man. We have not just come up with elders and decided, you know, we need a group of men to oversee the local congregation, so we'll just put them in there and call them elders. Absolutely not. These men are God ordained. These men are placed there because God desired for them to be there. These men are there because the wisdom of God deemed it absolutely necessary for there to be elders in the local congregation. When we turn to Acts 20, and verse 28, the Apostle Paul is talking to a group of elders from the church at Ephesus. And listen to what he tells them. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. Now listen to him. Over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Notice what Paul tells these men. He says, men, you have been appointed, you have been placed in this position by the Holy Ghost. Now, we're not talking about some kind of a miraculous appointment. We're not talking about some kind of a mystic appointment by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit appoints men by laying down the qualifications of this particular office. And we find those qualifications in 2 lists in the New Testament. We'll talk about that more later. But when individuals, men, meet those qualifications, and those men accept the position of an elder, they are Holy Spirit appointed men. This is a divine appointment by the Almighty God. It is not something that we have just made up in the churches of Christ and said, hey, we want you to be over the local congregation. No, God has divinely appointed the position of elders. The second point involves the names found in the Bible for elders. When the New Testament was originally written, it was written in the Greek language. And if you and I had the ability to read the Greek, we would find that there are 3 Greek words that refer to the elders of the church. One of them is presbyteros, P-R-E-S. B-U-T-E-R-O-S, presbyteros. The second word is poimen, P-O-I-M-E-N, poimen. And the third word is episkopos. E-P-I-S-K-O-P-O-S, episkopos. Now, I know that you think I'm speaking in tongues up here, don't you? But folks, those are the three Greek words. Now, when you and I read in our Bibles about these men, the elders, each one of these Greek terms has two English words attached to it. So in the English, the elders are referred to by six different names. Let's take that first Greek term again, presbyteros. It is translated in two ways. Number one, we read it translated as elders. Write down Acts 14, verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church. If you were to look up the word elders in the Greek language, you would find it is the Greek word presbyteros, or a form thereof. Another term by which this word is translated is presbytery. Write down 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. For there Paul tells Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy and with the hands of the presbytery. That word is presbyteros, the same one translated elders in Acts 14, verse 23. So one Greek word, two English words. Let's go to the second word, poimen. That word also has two English words by which it is translated. One of them is the word, now listen to me, pastor. Pastor. Did you know in our English Bibles the word pastor is only found one time? Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, now note this, and some pastors and teachers. The word pastors there is the Greek word poimen. Interesting, isn't it? Pastors. Now, the second word that is translated from this word poimen is shepherd. Now, I've got to get you to try to understand something. Nowhere in the New Testament do you specifically find a reference that says an elder is a shepherd. Not there. But folks, the concept is there. And our elders are shepherds. And that is one of the definitions of this word poimen. But how do we know that they're shepherds? Well, turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Notice what Peter says. The elders which are among you, I also exhort. I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Now listen to him. To feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Now there's two things that indicate elders are shepherds in this particular text. Notice first of all, Peter says, to feed the flock of God which is among you. Folks, you and I are little sheep. You and I are the flock of God in this local congregation. And if we are a flock, then guess what the elders are? The elders are our shepherd, are they not? But there is a stronger indication in this particular verse than just that word flock. Notice what he tells the elders to do. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Guess what the Greek word is? The Greek word is poimen. Or a form of that. When you look up the definition, it means this. To tend to a flock as a shepherd. Peter could have told these elders this. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you. That would have been an accurate translation. So the elders of the church are pastors, and the elders of a church are our shepherds, according to the Greek word poimen. Now there's that third word, episkopos. It too is translated with two English words. One of those words is bishop, and the other word is overseer. Go back to Acts 20, verse 28. For there Paul is talking to the elders at Ephesus, Acts 20, verse 17. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you episcopos, overseers, is translated in the King James Version. Now let's look at another passage, 1 Timothy 3 verse 1. This is a true saying. If any man desire the office of a episcopos, he desireth a good work. Our English Bible says, if any man desireth the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. So what have we learned thus far? It can get confusing, can it? There are three Greek words. Each one of these words has two English translations. The first word is episcopos, meaning what? Overseer or bishop. The second word is poimen, translated in our Bibles either shepherd or pastor. And the third word is presbyteros, translated in our Bibles as elder or presbytery. Now each one of these three Greek words tells us something either about the man or about the position. When you and I get into our discussion of the work of an elder, we're going to be talking about these words in a little bit more detail. But very quickly, let's look at the definition of these three words. The first word, elder or presbyter. Folks, what that word means is this: an old, elderly individual. Another definition is a senior. Now, we have individuals in our society today who occasionally will knock on our door. And we will open our door and there'll be two young men standing there in front of us with white shirts and ties on, don't we? And they will introduce themselves unto us as Elder so-and-so and Elder so-and-so. And they're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. That's always been confusing to me, that these individuals introduce themselves as an old man and they're just as young as they can be. Folks, the very word elder disqualifies the Mormon concept of an elder. An elder is an old man. An elder is a senior. An elder is an aged man, a man with wisdom upon him. Notice the second term, poimen. Now remember, we said that it is translated once as pastors. Pastors. Folks, the elders of the church are the pastors of the congregation. They are the shepherds. It's interesting to me that many individuals refer to me as a pastor. And guess what? I ain't. The translation of that is this: I am not. I am not a pastor. Yet, there are many individuals who introduce me as the pastor. I want you to meet our pastor. I am not the pastor. We have three pastors here. They are our elders, Larry, Bill, and Kevin. They are the pastors of this congregation. They are the shepherds of this congregation. They are the poimen of this congregation. Let me emphasize it once or twice more. I am not the pastor. One more time. I am not the pastor. So people say, well, Vic, how do we introduce you then? Real simply, this is Victor. That'd be all right, wouldn't it? He is a member of the Oceanside Church of Christ. And I am, aren't I? Just like you. Or you can introduce me as the preacher. I am that. You can say this is the minister or a minister, because all of you are ministers, aren't you? You can introduce me as an evangelist, but folks, I am not the pastor of this congregation. I hope you get that. I can't say that anymore. The elders are pastors. Then there's that third word, isn't there? Episcopos. Folks, that word means overseer or superintendent. These are the men who oversee all the affairs of this congregation. These are the men who have their hands upon the pulse of this congregation. These are the men who are the ultimate responsibility of this congregation. These are the individuals wherein they should say the buck stops here. So three names in Greek, six names in English. Very important that we understand all of those names. Point number three. When we look into the Bible and we talk about the eldership, we always find that there is a plurality of men in the eldership. Never once in the Bible do we read of a one-man rule in a congregation. Never. There is never one bishop who oversees the church. There is never one pastor who oversees the church. There is never one superintendent who oversees the church. There is never one priest who oversees the church. Every time elders are spoken of in the Bible, there is a plurality of them, more than one. Can you prove that? Oh, yes. Acts 11, verse 30. Barnabas and Saul were chosen to take relief to the churches in Judea and in the area around Jerusalem. And the Bible says, which also they did, and sent it unto the elders of the church by Barnabas and Saul. Elders, plural, of the church. On his first missionary journey in Acts chapter 14, verse 23, the Apostle Paul came back through the churches he has established, and guess what he did? He ordained elders, plural, in every church. Folks, every church had a plurality of elders. We go back to Acts chapter 20 and verse 17. And from Miletus, Paul called unto Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church. Let's look at one other verse. This is an interesting passage. Philippians 1 verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to the saints that are in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, now listen to him, and the bishops and deacons. Here the word is different, isn't it? But guess who he's addressing? He's addressing the elders of the church. He just uses a different term, the bishops, those overseers, those superintendents of the church. And notice how he addresses them. He addresses them in the plural, does he not? With the bishops and deacons. More than one were overseeing the church at Philippi. Folks, it is man who has set up the position of pastor within local congregations in denominationalism. Did you know that? They found the term and they made the wrong application to the wrong individual. And many of these churches that call the preacher the pastor do not even have elders overseeing them. Isn't that something? That is man-made. It is not found in Scripture, and it is not the way the precious church of our Lord is organized. A plurality of men called bishops, elders, pastors, shepherds oversee the local congregation. Point number four. A while ago, Larry was talking about men and women being on those Bible bowl teams. Michael told me the reason that there's one man and three or four women, because you only need one man. Y'all can take that up with Michael. I just set him up. We know that's not true, right? But folks, when it comes to the eldership, guess what? Only men can serve in the capacity of elders. Only men. There's two passages that I want us to look at. The first is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Notice what Paul said. If a man desire the office of a bishop, a man is to be put in that position. A man is to be in that office. But, you know, somebody might look up the word man in this text. And so I did. And guess what the definition is? If any. If whoever. Now, it is in the masculine, indicating it is a man. But what if they just look up the definition? They might come back to me and say, hey, preacher, I looked up that word man. And it's generic here. If any, if whoever desires the office of a bishop, therefore a woman might desire the office. So we ought to be able to put women in. No. Got to keep reading, don't you? That's what Brother Marshall Keeble used to say. He said, just keeps reading. And you read verse 2 of 1 Timothy chapter 3. Because there we have the qualifications, do we not? If a bishop be found blameless. Now listen to this. The husband of one wife. Folks, right there. Women are excluded from the eldership. Even when two women marry in our society as a lesbian couple, guess what? We don't refer to one of them as a husband, do we? Because she ain't one. I know that's terrible English, but she's not. A husband is a man. A wife is the female. In order to be an elder, you have to meet that qualification, the husband of one wife. Any person being put in the eldership must be a man, not a woman. Sadly, even within the churches of Christ today, we have individuals who are advocating for women elders in opposition to the teachings of God's Word. And I believe that Brother Robert R. Taylor in his commentary had it right. Here's what he said. No God-fearing woman would desire it. It's good, isn't it? Folks, if you respect God, if you respect the Word of God, guess what? You do not want to be an elder. You are not authorized to be an elder. Now, I'll tell you like I tell other women, when it comes to certain passages and things they can do and can't do in the Bible, if you got problems with that, die and take it up with God. Because, folks, it's right here, isn't it? This is where it's found. The next point, the position of an elder involves qualifications. Qualifications. We've already made mention of that, haven't we? Just write down for right now, 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7, and Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. For there are the qualifications listed in Scripture of an elder. There are numerous qualifications. These qualifications tell us what a man should be and how a man should behave. These qualifications tell us what a man should not be and how he is not supposed to behave. And next week we're going to get in depth in a discussion of those qualifications. But here's what we need to understand. A man must meet every one of those qualifications to be an elder. Every one of them. If a man desires the office of a bishop, here's what he has to have. Folks, you can't leave one of them out and be an elder in the sight of the Almighty God. Oh, you may be put in the position, but it does not make you a God-ordained, a God-appointed elder in the sight of God. Every qualification. Let's look at the next point concerning these elders. My friends, the office of an elder involves W-O-R-K. Work. There are some individuals who assume the office of an elder for prestige and for honor. There are some individuals who assume the office of an elder in order to be respected by the congregation. Now, yes, to be an elder, you should be respected. If you are an elder, you should be honored. And yes, there is some prestige to that office. It is the highest office in all of the world as far as a human being can assume. The highest. It's higher than even a preacher of the gospel of Christ. But you don't assume the office for the prestige and for the power and the honor and the respect. If any man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. And it is amazing. The obligations, the responsibility, the labor, the toil, the work that is involved if you are going to be an elder that God accepts. It is hard to imagine taking that responsibility as far as I'm concerned. Because I realize the gravity of the position. I realize the importance of the work. I understand. How God looks at that office. Folks, it's not playtime when you're an elder. It's work time as an elder. One other point. The office of an elder is a position of authority in the church. Today we have individuals who don't like authority. We have the 60s generation growing up today, and they didn't like authority in the 60s, and they don't like authority today. And they would have us to believe that elders have no authority over the local congregation. The only authority they might have, we are told, is by their example. And those individuals are just as wrong as they possibly can be. Elders do have authority over the local congregation. What was it that Paul told those elders of Ephesus in Acts 20, verse 28? Taking the oversight thereof. Being the overseers of that flock. Folks, if I am an overseer, if I am a superintendent, then I am watching what's going on and I am ruling over those affairs. That has to be what's involved in that. When you turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, Paul asks a question concerning elders with regard to their own home. He tells them that they need to rule well their own house. And here's why. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the house of God? I don't know about you, but as a husband and as a father in my house, I'm the head of that house. And I have authority in that house. And Paul says, you must take that concept and you need to understand it applies to the church. If you don't know how to rule your house, how are you going to rule and take care of the house of God? You're going to have authority there. And if you don't know how to handle the authority in your home, how are you going to handle it in the church? Just write down 1 Timothy 5:17. For there the Apostle Paul tells us, the elders that, listen to him, rule well, let them be counted worthy of double honor. Paul specifically tells us that men rule. And in Hebrews 13:17, we are commanded to obey and to submit to them that have the rule over us. Folks, that indicates, doesn't it, a position of authority in the church. Now the question that individuals ask is this, what authority do they have? Well, there's twofold authority that these men have. Number one, they have the authority to make certain that the authority of Jesus Christ is upheld in this congregation. Jesus is the head of the church. He rules it by means of this book. And the elders have the responsibility of making certain this book is carried out in this congregation. They can't change the book, they can't add to it, they can't take from it, they can't manipulate it. They have to make dead certain that whatever's in here, we are following. That's their responsibility. But you know, there's some things that are matters of judgment, aren't there? What time are we going to meet on Sundays? Boy, I'd like to see the answer to that question if we just opened it up for discussion. I want to be here at 6. Well, not me. I don't want to be here till about 1:30 or 2. I like to sleep in the morning. Well, why don't we just do it at 7 o'clock at night? And we just go to 7 to 10. We'd have chaos, would we not? Then we have to vote on the thing. Folks, the church is not a democracy. God put elders over the congregation, and the elders are the ones who make that final decision in a matter of option, aren't they? We're going to be here at 10, at 11, at 6:30, and back on Wednesday at 7. Elders make that decision. Preacher leaves the congregation. You bring in about 5 or 6 individuals, you try them out. Who's going to make the decision as to which one's hired? Well, man, if you ask the congregation, you'd never get an answer. This little group likes that one. This little group likes that one. Oh, we like the other one. Oh, please, let's get this one. Who makes that decision, folks? The elders make that decision. It's in the matter of judgment, of option, is it not? And so the elders say, this is the man we believe that is best for this congregation. Now, that's not without your input, but they have to make the decision, don't they? There's a lot of monies that are passed through the church treasury, aren't they? How are those monies going to be distributed? Who's going to make that decision? Are we just going to give a little bit of that to everybody and just let everybody make their own decision as to how that money is to be distributed? No. Elders have that responsibility. What works are we going to support? What missionaries are we going to support? Folks, somebody's got to make that decision. God does not want chaos. God does not want confusion. God wants peace in His churches. And therefore, He's put elders, and He said, elders, you have the authority in these matters to rule the congregation. And if they don't have that authority, folks, then nobody does. And there is absolutely no way to make those decisions. Elders have the authority. And guess what we're to do? Obey them that have the rule over you. Hebrews 13:17. Now, we're spending a lot of time on church organization, aren't we? Had a lesson last week. Got a lesson today. Got 3 more after this. Woo! That's a lot of lessons. There's a reason for it. The elders told me to. Now, they did tell me to, but there's more to it than just that. It's not going to be long until the elders are going to ask the congregation to start searching for men for the position of elder and deacon in this congregation. And therefore, it is imperative that we understand the eldership. And folks, these next question or these next 2 lessons are important, aren't they? The qualifications, we need to know who we're looking for to become an elder. We need to make certain that if we ask an individual, if we exhort an individual to become an elder of this congregation, that they meet those qualifications. It's amazing what some individuals will put up for an elder. I just like him. He may be 10 years old and not be married at all. Yeah. Now, you think that's crazy. Folks, there have been some people almost put men in just like that. We need to know who's qualified. Now, the next lesson involves the work of elders, doesn't it? Guess who that lesson's for? It's for the ones who may be considered to be elders. It's a major task, a monumental undertaking. And a man needs to understand what he's getting into before he just accepts the position of an elder. Then we're going to talk about the deacons in a final lesson and their qualifications and their work in the church. So be back for the next 3 weeks for lessons on church organization. Now, I realize that this lesson is primarily for those who are members of this congregation. But folks, the Lord died 2,000 years ago, and the reason He died was to purchase the church of Christ. That's exactly what Paul told those elders in Acts 20, verse 28, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Jesus died for the church, shed His blood for the church. The saved are in the church. Acts 2:47, Ephesians 5, verse 23. This morning we're begging with you and pleading with you to become members of that body, to be a part of the called out ones, to be redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. How do I do that? By hearing the gospel, believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God, repenting of my sins, confessing the precious name of Jesus, and being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Those individuals on the day of Pentecost cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter's words were simple, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost," Acts 2, verse 38. Do that this morning. My friend, do not leave this building lost. What if we get home? and the sky is open and our Lord returns and you've not made that commitment, I'll guarantee you this, you'll regret it. You'll regret it. Maybe you're an erring child of God and you need to come back. You've not been committed. You've not been faithful. You're living in sin. You need to repent and be restored to your Lord. Won't you do that this morning? Won't you come as we stand and sing?